Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. My name is Jason Rohrbaugh. I'm the Minister of Youth here at Christian Fellowship. If you don't know me, I'd be happy to make your acquaintance today, as well as any of our other pastoral staff or elders. We'd be happy to get to know you, especially if you're visiting. And if you are visiting with us here today, I invite you to fill out a connection card. It's in the pew back in front of you. And we'd be happy to pray for you or to even to get to know you this week if you want to reach out. We'd love to pray for any requests that of the congregation on Tuesday mornings when we have our staff meeting. So if you have a prayer request, please email us, call us, or write one on here. Also, this is a fifth Sunday of the month, and as fifth Sundays, we take special offering for our building fund, mortgage reduction. There are envelopes also in your pew back in front of you, or you can donate online and mark it accordingly. There's a lot going on this month, and Thanksgiving itself is a time where we celebrate and we're thankful for all the things that are happening in our life, all the things that God has given to us, and then we look forward to the wonderful holiday of Christmas and the fact that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was born to provide us salvation. And that always leads to more celebration and more excitement, it seems like, in the month of December. And here at church, we take that excitement and we try to fill up the calendar with a lot of good events for you and for us to participate in together. Some of them are service, some of them are fun, some of them are gathering together in worship and so forth. And so I draw your attention to that slide up there. There's a lot going on in December, and I want to highlight eight things for you real quickly in pairs of two. There are two men's events happening in the coming weeks. One this week on Thursday morning, the men are getting together at Yoder's for breakfast at 6 for a devotional, and that is that happens every other week, mostly throughout the year, but it's happening this Thursday morning. And then next Saturday, the men are also having a men's breakfast at Greenview Bible Camp at 7 a.m., so please mark that on your calendars to come out for that. I think my father is actually sharing at that event for his testimony and what the Lord's been working in his life. And then we also have two events for kids and parents in the actually this week on Friday night. If you're a Mountain Movers family, there is a Gingerbread Wars event, which is a lot of fun. They've been doing that for a couple years. If you'd like to know more information or to sign up for that event, Mountain Mover families, kids and parents, please contact Julie Myers. And on Saturday, the youth group is offering a babysitting night for all you parents who want to have a couple hours without your kids. I know Matt and Tyler and a bunch of other people are taking advantage of this. We have 35 kids signed up so far, and we have room for more. I also have room, youth group, for a couple more volunteers, especially the boys. I need some more guys volunteering. You don't have to change diapers or anything like that. It's more like games and crafts and just having a fun time together. So yes, youth group, volunteer, parents, bring out your kids for some child care. And then there's two initiatives that are happening this month as well that have to do with giving to others. So there's a giving tree, which helps support CrossNet families here in New Holland. There's a table out in the foyer with the giving tree. For more information about that, please see that table. Basically, you're going to be adopting a child from the community and providing some gifts for them anonymously. And then also there's a Christmas card exchange, which our missions committee puts together, where they collect Christmas cards from all of us and then hands it out to whoever they belong to in this church. That way you can save on postage or trying to track people down. Just provide that to the missions committee at their table in the foyer for the next couple weeks, and then they will hand them out, I think, the final 2 weeks of the month. And then finally, youth group, since I'm the youth minister, I'll steal a little time. We have two events. We have stocking stuff for shopping events. The senior high was supposed to gather tonight and do that, but I have postponed that for various reasons till next Sunday, December 7th. So we'll do our shopping and game night next Sunday, senior high. We won't have any event tonight. And then junior high will be meeting on Wednesday night to do their stocking stuffer event. So there's a lot going on. And I'd encourage you to check that out on our events page. Many of those things I mentioned are on the events page. And if you have any questions, please reach out to the church office. Before we go to a time of prayer, I'd like to share with you Psalm 100 as we focus on Thanksgiving. And it's five verses, And I should have had this ready, but I did not. Here we go. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all of the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness is to all generations. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you so much for this season. We thank you so much for all that you have given to us, for life itself. We thank you for the ability to live and to serve you here on this earth, and we pray that we may do that well. We pray also, Lord, that we would be thankful for the many blessings we have. Like I said, of life itself, of our senses, of our families, of our friends, of our experiences, even the material blessings that you give us. Lord, we just thank you for that. We pray that it would not distract us from loving you and honoring you, but that you would be our God in all things. And we praise you for the freedom that we enjoy here in this country. We praise you for this church and the facilities that we have. And we just pray, Lord, that we would honor you and we would pursue you in life and in our ministries. Lord, I thank you for your loving care for us as you watch over us. We pray for travel that's happening right now. A lot of families are traveling to and from places. We think of Pastor Doug and his wife coming home from West Virginia this morning. We think of people going back to college like my kids are. And I just pray, Lord, that you would watch over and protect everyone on the roads, especially during these winter storms that are happening. Lord, I also pray for the sicknesses that are going around. It seems to be a lot right now. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless us with healing. I thank you that Joyce Ank is experiencing some recovery from the heart attack that she had just a few days ago, and that the doctors were able to address those concerns and those issues and give her some repair and relief. And Lord, we pray that she can come home today, if it be your will. And again, Lord, I just thank you for all the things that you give to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I'm thankful for you guys. It's really gross outside. It's the Sunday right after Thanksgiving. If there was one week to skip church, this was it. So you guys missed out. I'm just kidding. I'm so legitimately thank you for coming out on this morning. It's a blessing to have you here. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 is kind of our main text. We're going to bounce around a little bit this morning, but you can go ahead and turn there if you'd like. My message this morning is called Getters and Givers. And I wanted us to just for a moment think about what it's like to receive, what it's like to give, and ultimately what it's like to be thankful. So there's this woman who's on the screen behind me. She is becoming pretty famous because she's been doing a test on churches. This is primarily in like Arkansas, Louisiana area. But what she's been doing is she's been calling churches. She has audio in the background of a baby crying as she calls these churches. And she basically says, hey, she calls the office and says, hey, I really need help. My baby hasn't eaten in 2 days. Can you please help me feed my baby? I need some formula. Please, can your church help me? Now, I'm sure Christy was in the lab, but she's our new administrator. She would have handled it perfectly, I'm sure. But often, and a lot of these churches have some pretty wild responses to this young woman. Some flat out reject her. They say, sorry, our church doesn't give to non-members. Others point her towards a parachurch ministry in the area, like CrossNet, her response is, she said, I've already tried all the organizations around and nobody's willing to help me. Will you please, church, will you please help me? And then some churches have gotten defensive. They kind of blame the woman for getting herself into this situation. Something along the lines of, well, you shouldn't have gotten pregnant if you didn't have the ability to take care of your baby. Some have shamed her by implying that she should just be able to breastfeed. Like, why can't you just breastfeed your baby? And then other churches, and I hope that CFC would be like this, they drop everything. Hey, can I run to the grocery store right now? We don't have any formula at our church, but I'm going to go get you some. Where should I drop it off? And it's been eye-opening. I think a lot of people are disappointed with the church response, but for the ones that have done well, they've impacted their communities greatly. So on this, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, I thought it would be good for us to take a look at what the Bible has to say about giving and receiving. What are we called to do when we're in desperate need of help? What are we called to do when folks in our church or our community are in desperate need of help? How do we step up and fill that gap? So our key text today is Ephesians 4:28. I'm going to read it to you. We're going to get back to it, but I want to read it to you here as we start. It says, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he might have something to share with anyone in need." This is a call for a profound transformation in a Christian's life, moving from the sin of stealing and idleness to the Christian virtues of honest work and generosity. I wanted to start by talking to those who receive this morning. And the message here is that gratitude leads to change. So this is kind of geared towards, at least this first point, is geared towards those who have received acts of benevolence from others. In other words, when we do our Christmas ornaments and we have and you can give to children in need, or you can buy them a Christmas gift, I'm talking to the ones receiving the gift. When CrossNet does the coat drive, you get a new coat. I'm talking to you. Now also, I want to expand it just a little bit to anyone who has received. Think about Christmas time. What when you receive a gift, what are you called to do? And then, you know, acts of benevolence here in our church. You know, we've done meal trains, and when we have a new baby, we want to take care of the families. When all of those things, when you get something, here's how, at least biblically, you should respond. First thing is that you should respond to getting with thanksgiving. First to God. See the bigger picture. What is God doing? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This is a call to rejoice and give thanks no matter what happens. If you're in need and you're feeling down, give thanks. If you're doing great, give thanks. Psalm 9, 1 and 2, David is actually kind of in the process of fighting a battle here. And he says, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." And then in verse 3, he says, "When my enemies turn back." So when good things happen, when we're given gifts, when our enemies all of a sudden turn around and go the other direction, we're called to first give thanks to God. James 1:17, I think, encapsulates this pretty perfectly. It says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." So even when somebody hands you something and you're filled with gratitude for them, ultimately, first and foremost, where should our gratitude go? Up, right? Look at God. God has orchestrated this for you to receive this great gift, this great blessing. And thank you, Lord, the Father of lights, every good and every perfect gift comes from you. You don't change. You're the same. It's ultimately from God. But the second way to respond when we are given something is to thank the people who gave it to you, right? To tell people what they mean to you. You know, I think a really good example of this is the book of Philippians. If you have, if you've been coming, we have an ABF right now that's doing a study called The Explicit Gospel, where Matt Chandler has basically been talking about what the gospel really is. And through it, he's kind of been talking about how to the point Paul the apostle is. He's pretty straightforward. He doesn't use much flowery language. He just kind of gets to the point. This is what God is saying. This is what it means. Here you go. But in Philippians, we see a little bit of a different side of Paul, and I want to read this to you. It's Philippians chapter 1, just the first 11 verses here. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you all are partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with the knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Did that sound like it was straight to the point? No. There's a lot of kind of flowery language there, isn't there? Oh, I long for you. Oh, my affections are for you. Oh, how I thank God in every remembrance of you. I yearn for you with all affection. It's my prayer that your love may abound more and more. It kind of feels like this is from David, doesn't it? This is like a song we should sing. What eloquent thankfulness we see here from Paul. You know, the church had blessed Paul with some sort of financial gift, even though he's currently in prison. He's probably at an all-time low of his life. And yet, he can't help but have this gratitude flowing from him towards these brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, he says, I thank God in all my remembrance. So first it's to God, and then he's, I love you guys. I'm so thankful for you. I long for you. My affections are for you. Man, Paul received something, and this was his response. So I wanted to ask you, kind of as a point of application, when you receive, when you're given something, does it lead you to thankfulness? Now my brother came into town for Thanksgiving, and he surprised us with an early Christmas present, and it was that he took us to a Bears-Eagles football game the other day. And if you know me, I'm a Chicago Bears fan. So it was just, I mean, I couldn't believe how awesome the experience was from a couple days ago. We had really good seats behind the end zone. The game was just a ton of fun. We had little kids with us, and it was kind of chaotic because we had all these Eagles fans around us that were like really not happy with the refs and with their coach and stuff, but they were actually really kind to us. They kind of adopted us. I think it's because we had little kids with us. But definitely didn't want to be a Bears fan and not have cute little kids with you at that game. But it was kind of it made me think for a second. I remember when I was a kid, and I grew up in Southwest Utah, and I remember seeing on the news, you know, they'd show us these, you know, what was happening in New York City. And there was these huge skyscrapers in Philadelphia and all these places that I thought, I will never go anywhere close to there. No one in my family was basically grew up in the middle of nowhere, Idaho. I thought, man, I will never see that. But it's cool that I get to see it on TV. And here I am, sitting close to the field, looking at the Philadelphia skyline in the background. It was all green. I don't know why it was green. I'm just kidding. But I couldn't help but be like, what happened? How did I get myself here? I was just so blessed. It made me thankful. I was thankful to God. I was thankful for my brother. I couldn't have gone without him. When's the last time you felt that? Man, how did I get here? How blessed am I? Man, God, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Can't believe I'm here. Can't believe I have this table full of food and things. I can't believe that my family's all here with me. I can't believe, God, thank you. And then also thank you to those who helped. Man, if you made food for Thanksgiving, man, I hope your family turned. Thank you. I hope you feel that. Because ultimately, that thankfulness leads us to the ultimate thankfulness, right? Think for just a minute about how the God of this world, for some crazy unknown reason, loves you. Isn't that wild? And not only that, but he loved you enough to send his son to go through an excruciating life and die for you. And not only that, but we live in this certain time period after Jesus came, when they started this thing called the church, and we live in this time, this period of grace, to where we don't have to kill a bunch of animals every time we sin. We don't have to do daily sacrifices and sacrifices of the, you know, all these. We get to look at the cross and just say, God, I believe you. I believe in Christ. I give my life to you. And we get salvation. If that doesn't lead you to thankfulness, nothing will. He paid our debt. The God of the universe, he came, and it was a terrible cost, but he paid your debt. If that doesn't make you thankful, nothing will. The next point here is that we respond with change. Getters respond with change. And that leads to our text, which is Ephesians 4:28. It says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Now, the Greek word here for thief and for steal is klepto. Have you ever heard that term, like kleptomaniac, right? It's somebody who just can't help but just take. They just steal and take, and it's mine, and they just look around them, and they can't help but to just steal or take. So this word klepto could kind of be translated into let the taker no longer take. Let the taker no longer take, or let the thief no longer steal. I think that this expansion of the text, I think, makes our point here pretty strongly. Secondly, I want you to realize that Paul is talking to believers here in Ephesus. He's not talking to the whole world. He's just talking. He says, hey, basically he's saying, hey, you brothers and sisters, stop taking. Stop taking what doesn't belong to you. Instead, do some honest work so that the next guy who comes through with a need can now turn to you In other words, be a contributor. When I just ask, are you just a taker in life? Are you using people for their time, for their money, for what they can do for you? Are you constantly in need? You can never find steady work. Maybe you've gotten really good at working the system. What the Bible says is, hey, if you're a believer here at church, you should be working to get past that. Let him labor. Let him do some honest work with his own hands. That way, when someone's really in need, you can be a help to them. You know, in James and in Exodus and Isaiah, I'm going to kind of summarize this, but it says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is to visit orphans and widows in the midst of their pain. Then in Exodus, it says, don't mistreat widows or the fatherless child. In Isaiah 1:17, it says, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. And there's a couple more passages that talk about the sojourner or like the homeless traveler and how we're to care for widows and orphans and these sojourners. So what's consistent about all those folks? Those folks are in need. They aren't able to take care of themselves. So the lesson here is pretty simple. Church, one of our very top priorities should be taking care of people who aren't able to take care of themselves. However, when it comes to them, or when it comes to thieves or takers, it should be our goal to get them labor in love so that they can do honest work with their own hands, so that when someone else is in need, now they can help. It should be to pull them onto our team. I don't know how many times I've had have conversation with people who've gone through something in need, and then at the end, what are they thinking? How can I help someone else? That's beautiful. Ultimately, it's important for us to realize as we get that our debt has been paid. We know it's okay to receive gifts because that's what grace is, right? Jesus gave the ultimate gift in himself. However, we're called to respond, just like in our Ephesians passage, with change. Paul says in Romans 6, 1 and 2, when you've received salvation, what shall we say then? Are we to continue living in sin so that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? So even if you've got all the money in the world, you still have a debt, right? A sin debt. And when that gets paid, it causes change in you. Shall you go on sinning so that grace can abound? By no means, Paul says. It should change something in you. You should be different because of that debt that was paid. Have you ever felt a little twang of guilt when you've received a great gift? I recently had lunch with a young man in our church whose son got pretty ill. And he was in the hospital for quite a while, and they didn't know what was wrong with him, and he was worried. And yet the church really rallied around him. We had moments for moms that gave him a gift, and people did meal trains, and they really supported them through this hard time. And I was able to go sit down at lunch with this young man, and he turned to me and he said, I'm not used to this. It feels strange. I'm not used to people taking care of me. I'm used to kind of helping, but I'm not used to, I don't know what to do. What do I do when I get stuff? Like, when people are just being kind, it's strange. And I turned and I said, that's kind of what grace is. That's what it means. We all should kind of feel that a little bit. When you receive a gift, that you don't deserve, that's what we call grace. There's really only one way to respond to grace, guys. It's gratitude. gratitude that leads to change. Secondly, I want to talk to those in a position to give. Just like when we receive, we respond with grace. Also, when we have gratitude in our hearts, it leads us to giving generously. In other words, an easy gauge for how thankful you are is how much you give back with your time, with your treasure, and with your talents. Now, Jesus tells this story. It's really an interesting story in Matthew 25, verse 31 through 40. It is 9 or 10 verses, so if you'd like, you can turn there. Matthew 25, 31 through 40. But the Bible says, hey, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels are with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This is the interesting part. It says, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did you see a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. The theologian Matthew Henry says, that which is here rewarded is the relieving of the poor for Christ's sake, out of love to him and with an eye to him. This puts an excellency upon the good work when in it we serve the Lord Christ. So the question that kind of entered my mind, I don't know if it entered yours as well, but it seems like a strange thing that Jesus is saying here. You know, this passage is on the final judgment. So why, after all this talk on believe on me, put your trust in me, you're going to inherit eternal life if you have faith, does it seem that Jesus is now separating people on how good they are? Doesn't it seem a little bit legalistic of Jesus here? It's interesting. I think the quote we just read from Matthew Henry does a good job summing up the right way to think about this. You see, when our eye is on Christ, when he is our first thought, when he is determining our path, when we are of him, it causes us to be determinedly astute towards those in need. In other words, we are overwhelmed by thanksgiving towards Jesus that we can't help, through the Holy Spirit, to have our hearts molded into his heart. And what he's telling us here is he's telling us about his heart. He's saying, hey, my heart is for the hungry. My heart is for the thirsty. My heart is for the stranger. My heart is for those who can't afford clothes. My heart is for the sick. So a huge sign that you have the heart of Jesus, a huge sign that you're of him, is that you have his heart. So ask yourself, givers, if you're in a position, where's your heart? Is it toward those in need, those who are hungry or thirsty or strangers, or is it towards those who can't afford clothes? Is it for the sick? Is it for those who can't help themselves? I thought it was interesting here for us just to think about, was Jesus a getter or a giver? And most of us would immediately say giver, right? Jesus gave of himself. But I think when we actually look at his life, it's a little bit interesting because Jesus didn't have a home. Foxes have dens and birds of heaven have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay down his head. Jesus relied upon us, upon people, for a place to lay his head down. Jesus was somewhat nomadic. He was transient. He was always moving. His lifestyle kind of served as this powerful metaphor that the nature of his mission and the spiritual focus required of his followers would be kind of foreigners and exiles. We don't really have a place. In some ways, we're kind of reliant. When I go to Vietnam and do some missions work, guess what? I don't know where I am. I don't know where I'm sleeping. I just say, hey, I'm here to serve. Hopefully you got a cot for me. That was Jesus' mindset. But at the same time, Jesus also washed feet. Jesus sought to serve, not to be served. Jesus emptied himself. Jesus gave his life. So I think the answer here is that we're both. Some phases of life, we need to receive from others. Even some, you know, it could be hour by hour even. Sometimes in life, we're put in a position where we can give. I want to challenge us to receive well and to give well. I just wanted to conclude with this. What should getting and giving do to our souls? If you receive without thanksgiving, it leads to entitlement. It's easy to go down the path of, I'm owed a good life. I shouldn't have to work for anything. This is my right. Right? That's kind of where we're at right now as a culture. Everything is owed to us. You know, I was laughing, I think, at staff meeting. We talked a little bit about how we can go to a store and we can get chicken wings, just a little part of the wing. We don't want the whole chicken. We just want the little bit, and we want a number of them, so we're killing multiple chickens to get it. Plus, we want them covered in sauces from all over the world. And what's our response? Oh, that was a good trip to Buffalo Wild Wings or whatever it was. We don't think about all the things that went into that, right? That's entitlement. I'm owed this. But if we receive with an understanding of grace, it leads to indelible gratitude. And ultimately, indelible gratitude leads to positive change. I can't believe what a great God I have. I can't believe how thankful I am to these people who helped me. I'm going to do my best to work hard now so that the next time I can be one of the ones who gives. That's how to get with an understanding of grace. On the other side, giving without grace leads to grumbling. Can you believe these freeloaders? How many of us have been in that spot? I can't believe they're eating just as good as I am, and they don't even work. I don't even have any money. Ugh. Man, I get frustrated every time I go to Walmart and I see all these people in there. Oh, man, they're just freeloaders. That's what giving without grace looks like. But if you give with grace, guess what? It leads to joy. Think about the last time you were able to give to someone out of the overflow of your heart. Think about what your thoughts were. I can't believe how awesome God is. Have you ever thought that as you're giving? He put me in the exact right place at the exact right time to where I could meet someone's need. Man, I'm so thankful. That's the kind of thing that lasts forever. The joy that can't be taken from you. So I want us to think, how's your soul? when it comes to getting and giving? Are you entitled? Are you grumbling? Or do you have gratitude and joy? I'm going to ask Tyler and the team to come back up here. We have one more song we're going to sing before we close this morning.